2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Where's the rap music? I thought we were coming back with rap music.
Well, I tried
music,
to talk Dave into doing it, and he wouldn't. The song that I was going to go into was Lil Troy, Wanna Be a Baller, but after reviewing the lyrics, it wasn't
you
appropriate.
You changed your mind.
And so I tried to get him to do Run DMC's Walk This Way, but he's like, who are they? Never heard of it. Well, so next week,
you don't want to shock people out of out of their breakfast routine.
Walk
with
This
your
Way has
rap
enough
music
that it wouldn't be.
It would be okay.
Yeah, it would be fine.
All right.
So next week.
Next listener, Ton, says they made a statement, which I disagree with, obviously. But trees in the park strip belong to the city and can only be pruned by the city, is what they said.
Your city will have an easement on a certain amount of your property. And it could be in the front along the sidewalk and the back to run pipelines. And it's an ordinance saying that pretty much the city can do what they want, but it's not necessarily their property. And so a city will come in and prune when the trees are growing into power lines or otherwise are a danger. But you can prune those trees, though.
If I plant them, I'm going to prune.
Yeah. And because the city is not going to do it, you know, if you have dead or diseased wood in a tree, you need to cut it out. And there isn't a city forester just walking the street saying, I'm going to prune this one. It's pretty much up to you unless your trees are growing into power lines.
Yeah, I wish they would, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that would save a lot of time and take care of the green waste. A lot of advantages to that, but that's just not happening. Scott in Layton says he was reading that about Maypops, and he's interested in trying them out. When would be a good time to transplant, and what kind of soil location is best? What are Maypops?
They are, well, you had to ask me.
What are
they? Maypop is a vine. Just one second. Now, the common name is completely the one we normally, Maypop. Okay. I'm disappointed in myself. Passion flower.
Okay.
So Maypop is another name for passion flower. So if you've ever had passion fruit flavored drinks, then those, it's a vine that are native to tropics and subtropics that will produce an edible fruit. And there's a few different species, but if you've ever had passion flower flavored drinks, that's what it comes from. So there are a few species of passion flower or Maypop that are native to the southeastern United States that are hardy down to maybe 0 to 5 degrees above zero. So occasionally you will see one growing on a telephone pole or on the side of a home, and you'll see the passion flowers. And here's the look of them. So they're very pretty.
Yeah, they're cool.
But they're very aggressive. My brother grew some.
I don't like that
when
word.
He lived in Mississippi and had to take them out.
Yeah, aggressive.
Because it was like English ivy aggressive. But here they're a little more limited, but they still can get big by big. And so for people that like to grow things that are marginally hardy, we've talked about that in our Mountain West palms and hardy subtropicals group on Facebook. You know, people like to play with them. And if you planted a hardy Maypop, you'd have a 50% chance of it taking and growing. So, but to actually get fruit off of it, that is pushing it a bit. And then the problem just isn't cold hardiness, but if they leaf out and then get frozen, oftentimes they don't come back. And so they do need to be protected a little bit that way too.
Okay, so they're not going to be aggressive here in Utah.
They can, if you had them in an ideal spot, they would be.
Oh.
But it's just finding that ideal spot to get them going, and they will grow like an English ivy. if you have an ideal place, but the ones that are hardy will bloom for 3 or 4 weeks and then they're done. But when they do bloom, they're super pretty. And when I used to live in the Southeast, you'd be driving on country roads and occasionally you'd just see a tree where these had grown up through the tree and it would mm-hmm. just be covered in these passion flower, the flowers of the vine. And they were just gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm out on stuff like that. I just don't have enough time to be out in the yard all the time.
Yeah.
Pruning things back.
And so
I'm already still dealing with English ivy that I can't kill off.
If you were to grow this and say you had a patio area, mm-hmm. it might be one that you could plant and then just let it grow over a trellis. Mm. And it's that way you want the cover. And so that would be a situation that you could try it. But it's just that, you know, it's not planted very commonly. And the ones that are planted, probably 50% die.
Okay. Next listener says they have planted almost 100 fruit trees in their lifetime, and each house that they've moved to, and they currently have 20 wonderful fruit trees, and they're looking for a juicy apricot. They had one that they're at their mother's house that was amazing, which is no longer living, and so they would like your recommendation for a juicy apricot.
Oh, boy. Apricots are one. I know several varieties, but I've never sat down and just eaten them to gauge sweetness and juice and things. And so it may be worth calling.
I don't think of juicy when I think of apricots.
No, it may be worth calling the Box Elder County Extension Office and talking to Mike Pace. His growers up in Box Elder County grow apricots and sell them. And if he didn't know, then he could get a hold of a grower or something to find out. You know, off the cuff, I would probably say something like Moorpark. It's a larger apricot that is quite popular, but that's one that I've never just sat down and said, oh, that is the best, juiciest apricot I've ever had.
I just don't think of them as being juicy. I mean, peach is juicy to me. Apricot's not
so much. And so because they are a little bit drier, that's where I'm hesitating.
I do love them, though.
Yeah. Normally, I would say Chinese and Moorpark. Those are my two go-to apricot varieties, and there are other really good ones, but I've never known them to be super juicy.
All right. Next listener says, when is a good time to prune their peach trees, apricot trees, and queen and cherry trees?
Mid-March. Those are all stone fruits.
I've got so much work to do in mid-March.
Yes, roses, the stone fruits, other bushes. We're going to talk about pruning bushes at the top of the 10 o'clock hour.
Okay, I want to know the latest on your tomato experiment.
They are growing. And,
well, okay, that's not enough. That's not fulfilling or satisfying.
I planted a variety that I'm trying to remember the name, but it was just what? No tomatoes yet, no fruit. But I planted a standard variety with my dwarf tomatoes. And in 2 weeks, the standard variety already needs to be transplanted into bigger pots. Mm-hmm. And the dwarf tomatoes have reached maybe a third of the size. And they've barely started to produce true leaves. And so when they come up, they get 2 seed leaves. And then after the seed leaves are there for 3 or 4 days, they start to form the true leaves. And they've started to do that. But I planted these all the same day. And the standard tomatoes have grown 2/3 faster.
Well, that's why the others are called
dwarf. And that's why I started
tomatoes.
Them early.
Right. So your observation to this point.
If you're doing
what you thought they would do.
Exactly. And if you want these dwarf tomatoes, I would probably start them in late February or early March so that you can maybe have them up to size in May when you normally would outplant them. But I haven't made a final decision, but I think it would be really neat to do a hedgerow or just like a little temporary border to where I had an ornamental pepper, those purple leaf peppers with a little mini tomato every other one. And you just have this whole border made out of purple leaf peppers with these little mini tomatoes.
Okay. I know you're really busy, but it would be really fun for you to take a picture of each type of tomato.
I will.
And do a side by side on the Facebook page so people can see the difference between the regular tomatoes and the dwarf tomatoes.
Okay. I will do that.
Okay, that's what I'm charging you with this.
Okay.
Yeah, like I have so much control over you. Hey, Don. That would be great. We'd like to see it.
Okay.
All right.
I will say that I bought a light bench, and so I've got 5 or 6 rats mm-hmm. that I can grow, and I don't know what's going on because I had them at the recommended distance, mm-hmm. you know, 6 inches.
Sure.
And they were causing the leaves to yellow and Ooh, scorch a little bit. And the new leaves are adapting. Hmm. And so I raised the lights up about 3 or 4 inches above and they seem to do a little better. But it's always an experiment because all lights are different. And I did make, and maybe I'll bring it in, I made a PVC light bench. And I found grow lights at Walmart, and I was just thinking they were full spectrum. I turned these sure. things on, and they are like a reddish pink.
What?
Yeah. And so it's almost like mood lighting when you turn them on. Mike Karen's like, those sear my eyes out, but I don't mind the tone
okay, we
and
want
color.
Pictures.
So we'll have to bring that in, too, okay. and we can play around. So.
All right. We're going to take a break. Number to call with your questions. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hope you're happy there, Tom.
Yeah, Fat Boys and the Beach Boys. This is a good song. It's all good. This is crazy active.
Phone lines are open. You can call with your questions right now. 801-575-8255. Yes, it's still a greenhouse. I know we turned into some sort of eclectic music station there for a second. You can also text us your questions at 57500. This is all your
that
fault.
That made me
Tom.
Happy.
Are you happy now? A big smile on your face.
Yeah, that made me happy. That came out, and I think it was in 8th or 9th grade. Just memories, and that is a, you know, Beach Boys and the Fat Boys.
It is Saturday morning.
It
and
is.
That is the kind of stuff that you love.
Yes.
Recommendations right now.
Happy
what kind
song.
Of, yeah, happy song. Okay, we know what you're recommending as far as music. But what kinds of stuff should we be thinking about right now in our yards?
Well,
you've got me thinking about all the things I have to dig up mid-March to the beginning of April. And
it's
I'm
getting
scared.
Time with snow melting off to start transplanting and moving perennials, dividing perennials. You can also, the garden centers, even though they're not stocked, are rolling plants in this time of year like crazy. And so if you've been looking for a certain tree, you know, and you have some favorite garden centers, it doesn't hurt to go in once a week and look around. Sometimes the garden centers will only get 5 or 10 of something in that you're looking for, especially if it's like a specimen conifer that's rare, you know, slow growing. So go into the greenhouses, and this is just more of a mental health thing, but go into the greenhouses when it's sunny and enjoy the foliage and the flowers in there. They'll have ranunculus and tulips and cyclamens, but just make it feel like summer for a little bit. That's something I always recommend this
time of
year.
I like to do it when it's not sunny.
Yeah.
Because I need those flowers. I need to see what's fun and exciting.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things, but the perennials and dividing perennials that's going to be coming very quickly, along with pruning bushes and also the stone fruits are the main things. Then if you have any cleanup, a lot of times leaves will blow in over the winter. And if the snow's melted off, you can use a leaf blower or a rake to get those up too.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of pruning, next listener wants to know, what if they haven't pruned their apples and pears yet?
Get them done. And so it's been cold enough that you still are fine to prune them. We generally prune in February for apples and pears to help prevent a disease called fire blight from spreading in them. And so when you make a cut, we recommend just getting some not Lysol, but rubbing alcohol in just an inexpensive like sprayer like you would spray your for ironing, and just spray the blades off on your pruners after every cut, so that especially if you know you've had fire blight, just to be safe.
Ooh, okay.
Now, if the apples and pears haven't had it in there, you may not need to do that. But if you've noticed a lot of dieback, especially in pears, that's a smart thing to do.
Okay. I want to go back to something you were just talking about a second ago, and that was the garden centers. Have you been into the garden centers?
I've been into a few of them.
And what are you, are you seeing fun stuff there?
Well, they're start stocking trees fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
And indoors, just the house plants themselves. And so the early spring flowers are starting to show up. We mentioned the ranunculus. Sometimes they're known as buttercups.
Primrose,
English daisies, pansies are starting to, you know, show up. We won't be planting those outdoors for another 3 or 4 weeks. But even if you bring home some of these to enjoy indoors for 3 or 4 weeks, you know, and they'll stop blooming, you know, it's oftentimes worth doing.
How about on a protected patio spot? Can you plant in a pot?
You could, as long as it stayed above the like 27, 28 degrees at night. And so you may need to have something that you could cover the planter with, or have the ability to bring it into an unheated garage or something so that it doesn't get too cold.
Okay. Next listener would like to know, will camellia or rhododendron grow well in Salt Lake City in clay soil?
Nope. Those
yeah.
are two that I hate to be so blunt, but there are hobbyists that do it, especially rhododendrons and azaleas. And what they will do is put them into their soil and amend the soil with lots and lots of potting soil or peat moss, and then plant into that, and then put a peat moss mulch cover down, and then use Miracle-Gro mirror acid every couple of weeks to try to keep that soil going. It works best in sandy soil, not clay. And so I'm not awfully hopeful if you have a clay soil, but camellias, there are some, what they're advertising is cold hardy camellias that are like zone 6, mm-hmm. but I've tried them a few times and never been able to get them to take. So camellias, if you're not familiar with them in warmer climates, you know, Southern California up into San Francisco, the Southeast will bloom all winter. Mm-hmm. And they're just gorgeous. And the camellias, unfortunately, are just not adapted to our dry weather plus our cold. And so if we were in a wetter climate, they probably would do better and start blooming sometime in mid to late March. But in South Georgia, Louisiana, North Florida, into Central Florida, you know, Southern California, they bloom all winter and they're just really pretty.
I had planted a rhododendron and I think it just tortured me for years. Like I kept trying all sorts of things to amend the soil, to give it iron or whatever it needed, and finally it died and I'm like, okay, I'm out. Find
yeah.
something new in that spot.
Unless you have really sandy soil, that's what happens. There was a gentleman that lived by the North Ogden Smiths that there's really sandy soil through that area, and he had mixed in tons of organic matter into a soil, compost, peat moss, and then he would use Miracle-Gro mirror acid every few weeks, and he had a very healthy stand of azaleas and camellias.
That's what I had added, yes.
But the sandy soil is key because of the drainage, and when you get really alkaline clay soil, they just don't seem to do it.
Well, that explains it. Next person says, they haven't pruned their apples and pears, and she says her husband wanted to do it today, but it's supposed to snow again. Is it okay
yep.
to prune before the storm?
Get it done.
Okay. Next person says, they recently bought a house. They want to plant some fruit trees like pear, apple, peach. When's the best time to plant them?
When you can find them in the garden centers. And so I would start looking in the next couple of weeks. Talk to the manager to see when they're showing up, because there's a shortage and you have to get them in the spring in that 3 or 4 week period of time. The Costco's and Sam's Clubs will usually bring in bare root trees mm-hmm. that are less expensive, but they're bare root, and the garden centers will usually have them through early June.
Our next listener listens in Idaho Falls, and they were wondering, how many weeks do they need to add to your Utah pruning and planting recommendations?
Idaho Falls is one zone colder to a zone and a half colder than the Wasatch Front. And so when I recommend pruning apples in mid-February, they could probably wait until late February to get that done, just a week to 10 days later.
Okay, we have just a minute left, so I'm going to ask you, are you familiar with the hydrangea vine?
Yes.
And why would it be that my hydrangea vine won't get taller than like a foot and a half?
They are finicky. I have seen a few that have just grown everywhere. But it seems like when people plant hydrangea vine, that it's maybe 3 or 4 out of 10 that take and really take off. And it also takes them 3 or 4 years to decide to grow. And so they'll just sit there. And all of a sudden, on their fourth or fifth year, it grows everywhere and really takes off. But they're slow to establish.
Can I give it something extra to make it grow?
Maybe just a bit of fertilizer. Maybe a quarter of a cup of fertilizer spread out around it.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.